This morning on WCHL, the polls are open, and by 7:30 tonight, a sheriff will be chosen. Many teachers' assistants in the Chapel Hill Carborough School District don't know whether they'll have a job this school year, and today we will hear from one.
I have thought about looking into something else.
And two UNC surgeons have left the Tar Heel footprint in one of the poorest countries in the world.
In Malawi, there no more than 20 indigenous Malawian surgeons for a population of 14 million people.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, a former Tar Heel great gets ready for his All-Star debut. And
Duke and the Duke are suing each other over their names.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 77 degrees this morning at 7:07 at WCHL. It will be a warm day, although not as hot as yesterday. Our high today about 88. There is, however, a chance of rain, 70% this afternoon. So it looks like it will be a wet, muggy day. It is second primary day for the Orange County Sheriff's race between Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell. The polls are open now at all 44 precincts. They've been open since 6:30 and will remain open until 7:30 tonight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Both candidates are veterans of the Sheriff's Department. Back in May, Blackwood garnered the most votes, winning 30% in a six-way Democratic primary. But 40% is the magic number that would have prevented a runoff. Caldwell, the second-place finisher, was just 58 votes behind, so he called for the runoff that takes place today. 7 days of early voting at the Orange County Board of Elections office in Hillsborough ended Saturday, with 1,519 voters casting ballots in all. There are no Republicans running, so the winner of today's contest will be the successor to Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass, who's retiring after 32 years on the job. Blackwood, who was endorsed by Pendergrass, outraised Caldwell nearly 5-1 in campaign receipts that included $5,852 of his own money. According to a report filed July 10th with the Orange County Board of Elections, Blackwood raised nearly $44,000 during this election cycle, and more than $9,000 were raised in the second quarter between late April and late June. Blackwood's campaign spent nearly $38,000 and had more than $6,000 left in the bank. The Caldwell campaign raised $9,222 during this election cycle, according to a campaign report filed Monday, 4 days after the due date. Nearly 61% of that was raised during the second quarter. Caldwell reported a total $3,580 in outstanding loans to his campaign from himself and members of his family. His campaign spent $8,900 and had $777 on hand at the end of the reporting period. You can read this story and keep up with election results at our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Orange County is not the only place where this is happening. Voters in three dozen North Carolina counties, 36 out of 100, are choosing their party's nominees in a second round of primary elections today, mostly for local races, including district attorneys, county commissioners, and sheriffs, just like in Orange County. Most counties with a partisan contest today have just one race on the ballot. Again, the polls are open now. All 44 precincts around Orange County are open for your vote. They have been since 6:30 this morning and will remain open until 7:30 tonight. Aaron Keck will be on the air reporting the results here on WCHL. As soon as those numbers are counted, we'll find out who our next sheriff will be, either David Caldwell or Charles Blackwood. North Carolina budget talks remain slow as House Republicans held a meeting with empty seats. And Governor Pat McCrory tried to keep pressure upon senators to ease back on their teacher pay proposal. The House budget negotiations met publicly on Monday in a committee room to talk about the differences in their positions with the Senate. But their Senate counterparts chose not to attend. The hour-long presentation reiterated how the two sides disagree on teacher pay, teacher assistance, and Medicaid eligibility. McCrory threatened last week to veto any plan that contains the Senate's proposal to raise teacher pay by more than 11% because it results in deep cuts elsewhere. The governor told a radio station in Charlotte he's also got to think about how to raise salaries for other state workers. A Chapel Hill teacher's assistant tells WCHL that all the budget wrangling between the House and Senate in Raleigh has left her feeling uncertain about her future to the point where she may consider changing jobs. Patsy Barbie says she's giving it a couple of weeks to hear back from the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School System that her job is still available.
I have thought about looking into something else. As a matter of fact, I had given myself a time frame and saying if I haven't heard anything by such date, then I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
The former child care worker was hired last September for 1 year as a second grade teacher's assistant at Northside Elementary. She's one of the interim assistants hired by Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools under similar circumstances last year and paid for by reserve funds that are now depleted. Now she's waiting to see what further reductions the North Carolina General Assembly could make to education in its forthcoming budget, whenever that comes out. Barbie says she just hopes she and about 100 of her fellow TA have jobs next year.
I love coming to work, and I love the kids that I work with and the teacher.
Barbie has some sharp words for legislators in Raleigh.
The people that make the decisions based on other people's lives, I do not believe have ever worked in education. Because if they had, then they would not sit there with their honorable selves and make all these decisions and make them so that people are unemployed.
Barbie says she's also worried about the possibility of teachers having to handle classrooms without assistance. In other words, classrooms of about 22 kids with no help at all. The Chapel Hill Carrboro Board of Education will meet on Thursday to determine what reductions would be made in anticipation of state education cuts. Two surgeons with the J.C. Byrne Center at UNC Hospitals recently returned from a two-week trip to Malawi in southern Africa, where they opened a burn center in one of the poorest countries in the world. WCHL's Rand Northam sat down with those surgeons.
We go to Malawi not with the intention of essentially creating an American emergency room. We just want to make whatever they have there work better. And any new technology that we may bring is just to make life easier for everybody.
That's Dr. Anthony Charles, the director of the Adult ECMO program and associate professor of surgery with specialties in trauma, critical care, and acute care surgery. ECMO is the process of extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or heart and lung bypass. Dr. Charles is a native of Nigeria. He has traveled to Malawi since 2007 and says although a lot of attention is given to HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, trauma kills more people than HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. Dr. Charles and J.C. Byrne Center Medical Director Bruce Cairns, who also serves as the faculty chair at UNC, were recently in Malawi for 2 weeks. The doctors made the trip to open and dedicate a burn unit and burn operating room in Malawi's Kamuza Central Hospital.
I think one of the most unique things about that hospital in Malawi is that now you have an operating room within a burn unit, which most places, even in the United States, will envy. And it is our hope, because of the Southern Hemisphere winter, that we can get patients in and out of the hospital as quick as possible. They can get their skin grafts done, and we can have ourselves huge, huge turnover and get them back to recovery.
To describe what a hospital is like in Malawi, Dr. Charles says to imagine you're in an American hospital in the 1930s. Malawi is also very densely populated, with about 14 million people in nearly 46,000 square miles. That's roughly equivalent to the size of Ohio, with about 2.5 million more people and very few medical professionals.
In Malawi, there are no more than 20 indigenous Malawian surgeons for a population of 14 million people. So you can imagine that for those that actually make it to the hospital and actually see a surgeon, they're the lucky ones.
Dr. Charles and Dr. Cairns say they both agree that support is needed from the UNC campus and throughout the nation to continue to help improve medical practices in Malawi.
I think that there are a number of things that we would like to change, but it starts with resources and support.
And part of what we've done is we started a surgery residency program to train Malawians to become surgeons, and also support the clinical officers for better training. I think doubling up on that effort, increasing the numbers of people that can provide care to their people is the magic sauce.
Stay tuned. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have part two of this story, talking about what specifically the J.C. Byrne Center does here in Chapel Hill and how it reaches out to nearly all 100 counties in the state. To hear the complete interview with Dr. Bruce Cairns and Dr. Anthony Charles, and to see pictures from the J.C. Byrne Center and a video from the Kamuza Central Hospital Burn Unit, You can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Just an excellent job on those interviews, Rand, and look forward to hearing more coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, thank you very much.
In other news this morning on WCHL, the left-hand eastbound lane of 15501, otherwise known as Fordham Boulevard, between Manning Drive and Old Mason Farm Road, will be closed from 8 p.m. until 4 a.m. That is starting tonight at 8 o'clock and lasting until 4 o'clock in the morning. For a manhole repair project, eastbound traffic will be reduced to one lane through the work zone. Please use caution in that area. And a plan to close Ridge Road traffic in both lanes between Manning Drive and the Rams Head parking deck for a water. This morning on WCHL, the polls are open, and by 7:30 tonight, a sheriff will be chosen. Many teachers' assistants in the Chapel Hill Carborough School District don't know whether they'll have a job this school year, and today we will hear from one.
I have thought about looking into something else.
And two UNC surgeons have left the Tar Heel footprint in one of the poorest countries in the world.
In Malawi, there are no more than 20 indigenous Malawian surgeons for a population of 14 million people.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, a former Tar Heel great gets ready for his All-Star debut. And
Duke and the Duke are suing each other over their names.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 77 degrees this morning at 7:07 at WCHL. It will be a warm day, although not as hot as yesterday. Our high today about 88. There is, however, a chance of rain, 70% this afternoon. So it looks like it will be a wet, muggy day. It is second primary day for the Orange County Sheriff's race between Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell. The polls are open now at all 44 precincts. They've been open since 6:30 and will remain open until 7:30 tonight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Both candidates are veterans of the Sheriff's Department. Back in May, Blackwood garnered the most votes, winning 30% in a six-way Democratic primary. But 40% is the magic number that would have prevented a runoff. Caldwell, the second-place finisher, was just 58 votes behind, so he called for the runoff that takes place today. 7 days of early voting at the Orange County Board of Elections office in Hillsborough ended Saturday, with 1,519 voters casting ballots in all. There are no Republicans running, so the winner of today's contest will be the successor to Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass, who's retiring after 32 years on the job. Blackwood, who was endorsed by Pendergrass, outraised Caldwell nearly 5-1 in campaign receipts that included $5,852 of his own money. According to a report filed July 10th with the Orange County Board of Elections, Blackwood raised nearly $44,000 during this election cycle, and more than $9,000 were raised in the second quarter between late April and late June. Blackwood's campaign spent nearly $38,000 and had more than $6,000 left in the bank. The Caldwell campaign raised $9,222 during this election cycle, according to a campaign report filed Monday, 4 days after the due date. Nearly 61% of that was raised during the second quarter. Caldwell reported a total $3,580 in outstanding loans to his campaign from himself and members of his family. His campaign spent $8,900 and had $777 on hand at the end of the reporting period. You can read this story and keep up with election results at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orange County is not the only place where this is happening. Voters in three dozen North Carolina counties, 36 out of 100, are choosing their party's nominees in a second round of primary elections today, mostly for local races, including district attorneys, county commissioners, and sheriffs, just like in Orange County. Most counties with a partisan contest today have just one race on the ballot. Again, the polls are open now. All 44 precincts around Orange County are open for your vote. They have been since 6:30 this morning and will remain open until 7:30 tonight. Tonight, Aaron Keck will be on the air reporting the results here on WCHL. As soon as those numbers are counted, we'll find out who our next sheriff will be, either David Caldwell or Charles Blackwood. North Carolina budget talks remain slow as House Republicans held a meeting with empty seats, and Governor Pat McCrory tried to keep pressure upon senators to ease back on their teacher pay proposal. The House budget negotiators met publicly on Monday in a committee room to talk about the differences in their positions with the Senate, but their Senate counterparts chose not to attend. The hour-long presentation reiterated how the two sides disagree on teacher pay, teacher assistance, and Medicaid eligibility. McCrory threatened last week to veto any plan that contains the Senate's proposal to raise teacher pay by more than 11% because it results in deep cuts elsewhere. The governor told a radio station in Charlotte he's also got to think about how to raise salaries for other state workers. A Chapel Hill teacher's assistant tells WCHL that all the budget wrangling between the House and Senate in Raleigh has left her feeling uncertain about her future to the point where she may consider changing jobs. Patsy Barbie says she's giving it a couple of weeks to hear back from the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System that her job is still available.
I have thought about looking into something else. As a matter of fact, I had given myself a time frame and saying if I haven't heard anything by such date, then I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
The former child care worker was hired last September for 1 year as a second grade teacher's assistant at Northside Elementary. She's one of the interim assistants hired by Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools under similar circumstances last year and paid for by reserve funds that are now depleted. Now she's waiting to see what further reductions the North Carolina General Assembly could make to education in its forthcoming budget, whenever that comes out. Barbie says she just hopes she and about 100 of her fellow TAs have jobs next year.
I love coming to work, and I love the kids that I work with and the teacher.
Barbie has some sharp words for legislators in Raleigh.
The people that make the decisions based on other people's lives, I do not believe have ever worked in education. Because if they had, then they would not sit there with their honorable selves and make all these decisions and make them so that people are unemployed.
Barbie says she's also worried about the possibility of teachers having to handle classrooms without assistance. In other words, classrooms of about 22 kids with no help at all. The Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education will meet on Thursday to determine what reductions would be made in anticipation of state education cuts. Two surgeons with the J.C. Burns Center at UNC Hospitals recently returned from a two-week trip to Malawi in southern Africa, where they opened a burn center in one of the poorest countries in the world. WCHL's Rand Northam sat down with those surgeons.
We go to Malawi not with the intention of essentially creating an American emergency room. We just want to make whatever they have there work better. And any new technology that we may bring is just to make life easier for everybody.
That's Dr. Anthony Charles, the director of the Adult ECMO Program and associate professor of surgery with specialties in trauma, critical care, and acute care surgery. ECMO is the process of extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, or heart and lung bypass. Dr. Charles is a native of Nigeria. He has traveled to Malawi since 2007 and says although a lot of attention is given to HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, trauma kills more people than HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. Dr. Charles and J.C. Burns Center Medical Director Bruce Cairns, who also serves as the faculty chair at UNC, were recently in Malawi for 2 weeks. The doctors made the trip to open and dedicate a burn unit and burn operating room in Malawi's Kamuza Central Hospital.
I think one of the most unique things about that hospital in Malawi is that now you have an operating room within a burn unit, which most places, even in the United States, will envy. And it is our hope, because of the Southern Hemisphere winter, that we can get patients in and out of the hospital as quick as possible. They can get their skin grafts done, and we can have ourselves huge, huge turnover and get them back to recovery.
To describe what a hospital is like in Malawi, Dr. Charles says to imagine you're in an American hospital in the 1930s. Malawi is also very densely populated, with about 14 million people in nearly 46,000 square miles. That's roughly equivalent to the size of Ohio, with about 2.5 million more people and very few medical professionals.
In Malawi, there are no more than 20 indigenous Malawian surgeons for a population of 14 million people. So you can imagine that for those that actually make it to the hospital and actually see a surgeon, They're the lucky ones.
Dr. Charles and Dr. Karen say they both agree that support is needed from the UNC campus and throughout the nation to continue to help improve medical practices in Malawi.
I think that there are a number of things that we would like to change, but it starts with resources and support.
And part of what we've done is we started a surgery residency program to train Malawians to become surgeons and also support the clinical officers for better training. I think doubling up on that effort, increasing the numbers of people that can provide care to their people is the magic sauce.
Stay tuned. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have part two of this story, talking about what specifically the J.C. Byrne Center does here in Chapel Hill and how it reaches out to nearly all 100 counties in the state. To hear the complete interview with Dr. Bruce Cairns and Dr. Anthony Charles, and to see pictures from the J.C. Byrne Center and a video from the Camuza Central Hospital Burn Unit, you can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Just an excellent job in those interviews, Rand, and look forward to hearing more coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, thank you very much.
In other news this morning on WCHL, the left-hand eastbound lane of 15501, otherwise known as Fordham Boulevard, between Manning Drive and Old Mason Farm Road, will be closed from 8 p.m. until 4 a.m. That is starting tonight at 8 o'clock and lasting until 4 o'clock in the morning. For a manhole repair project, eastbound traffic will be reduced to one lane through the work zone. Please use caution in that area. And a plan to close Ridge Road traffic in both lanes between Manning Drive and the Ram's Head parking deck for a while.
Yahoo. If Hamas rejects the Egyptian proposal, the rocket fire from Gaza does not cease, and that appears to be the case now, we are prepared to continue and intensify our operation to protect our people.
The Israelis deny a report that one of their airstrikes struck a northern Gaza apartment building today. Israel's also announced that it will be deploying three more Iron Dome missile defenses. Seven are already in place, and they have been effective against Hamas rockets a week into this conflict. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 77 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 88 with a big chance of rain today. Showers and thunderstorms probably in the afternoon. I'm Ron Stutz. Well, today is a very important day. Polls have been open now for over an hour. It is second primary day for the Orange County Sheriff race between Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell. The polls at all 44 precincts are open until 7:30 tonight. That means everybody in Orange County should get out and vote today if they have not voted already during the early voting period. Again, polls open now until 7:30 p.m. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Both candidates are veterans of the Sheriff's Department. Back in May, Blackwood garnered the most votes, winning 30% in a six-way Democratic primary. But 40% is the magic number that would have prevented a runoff. Caldwell, the second-place finisher, was just 58 votes behind, so he called for the runoff that takes place today. 7 days of early voting at the Orange County Board of Elections office in Hillsboro ended Saturday, with 1,519 voters casting ballots in all. There are no Republicans running, so the winner of today's contest will be the successor to Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass, who's retiring after 32 years on the job. Blackwood, who was endorsed by Pendergrass, outraised Caldwell nearly 5-1 in campaign receipts that included $5,852 of his own money. According to a report filed July 10th with the Orange County Board of Elections, Blackwood raised nearly $44,000 during this election cycle, and more than $9,000 were raised in the second quarter between late April and late June. Blackwood's campaign spent nearly $38,000 and had more than $6,000 left in the bank. The Caldwell campaign raised $9,222 during this election cycle, according to a campaign report filed Monday, 4 days after the due date. Nearly 61% of that was raised during the second quarter. Caldwell reported a total $3,580 in outstanding loans to his campaign from himself and members of his family. His campaign spent $8,900 and had $777 on hand at the end of the reporting period. You can read this story and keep up with election results at our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Again, the polls are open now, all 44 of them around Orange County, and have been open for over an hour. When the votes are over tonight at 7:30, Aaron Keck will be on the air here reporting results as soon as they become available. Voters in three dozen North Carolina counties are choosing their party's nominees in a second round of primary elections today, mostly for local races like sheriff's races and district attorneys and county commissioners in some spots. Most counties with a partisan contest today have just one on the ballot, and that is the case right here in Orange County. North Carolina budget talks remain slow. House Republicans held a meeting yesterday with empty seats, and Governor Pat McCrory tried to keep pressure on senators to ease back on their teacher pay proposal. The House budget negotiators met publicly on Monday in a committee room to talk about the differences in their positions with the Senate, but their counterparts from the Senate chose not to attend. The hour-long presentation reiterated how the two sides disagree on teacher pay, teacher assistance, and Medicaid eligibility. The governor threatened last week to veto any plan that contains the Senate's proposal to raise teacher pay by more than 11% because it results in deep cuts elsewhere. The governor told a radio station in Charlotte he's also got to think about how to raise salaries for other state workers. Meanwhile, here at home, a Chapel Hill teacher's assistant tells WCHL that all the budget wrangling between the House and Senate in Raleigh has left her feeling rather uncertain about her future, to the point where she may consider changing jobs. She may have to. Patsy Barbie says she's giving it a couple of weeks to hear back from the Chapel Hill Harbor City school system that her job is still available.
I have thought about looking into something else. As a matter of fact, I had given myself a time frame and saying if I haven't heard anything by such date, then I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
The former child care worker was hired last September for 1 year as a second-grade teacher's assistant at Northside Elementary. She's one of the interim assistants hired by the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System under similar circumstances last year and paid for by reserve funds that are now, sadly, depleted. Now she's waiting to see what further reductions the North Carolina General Assembly could make to education in the forthcoming budget. Barbie says she just hopes she and about 100 of her fellow TAs have jobs when the school year begins.
I love coming to work, and I love the kids that I work with and the teacher.
Barbie has some sharp words for legislators in Raleigh.
The people that make the decisions based on other people's lives, I do not believe have ever worked in education. Because if they had, then they would not sit there with their honorable selves and make all these decisions and make them so that people are unemployed.
She said she's also worried about the possibility of teachers having to handle classrooms of about 22 kids with no assistance at all. The Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education will meet on Thursday to determine what reductions will be made in anticipation of state education cuts. So it could get worse. A lot depends on what the General Assembly in Raleigh does. The medical director of the J.C. Burn Center at UNC Hospital says he wants to put the Burn Center out of business. But right now, all 60 beds at the Burn Center are full. WCHL's Rand Northam continues our story on the Burn Center.
Walking through the J.C. Burn Center, you don't hear much sympathy being handed out. Instead, there are smiles on the faces of the doctors and nurses and words of encouragement spread throughout. Medical Director Dr. Bruce Caron says that's important to the healing process.
When you're a burn patient, you become a burn survivor for life because of the scarring, not just the physical, but the psychological as well. And so how we support the patient and their family during that time has a huge impact on how that burn will affect them for the rest of their lives.
Dr. Caron touts the fact that UNC has what he believes are some of the best occupational therapists and one of the best facilities to handle the delicate nature of the trauma, not to mention some of the top doctors. The Burn Center has a family waiting room that was made possible by Duke Energy. It also has a playroom that helps in the physical and mental healing process. Dr. Caron says a major contributor to the continued success of the Burn Center is the North Carolina Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. Energy co-ops are private, independent, and not-for-profit. Dr. Caron says he's glad to partner with them because he knows if something were to change in the amount of support the center receives, either from the state or the hospital, the co-ops would be in full support. He says his goal to put the J.C. Burn Center out of business isn't there yet.
We are making progress. We will always continue to work on this, but it's a constantly evolving challenge.
He says for now, his goal is to educate and to work on preventative care so the beds don't constantly remain full.
The most advanced medical technology that we've ever developed is a vaccine. So it's always better to prevent an injury than to treat it. But we have to educate people about what the dangers are in the home, for example, with grease fires, as well as the kinds of activities that might lead to an injury. For example, using gasoline on a fire will result in an explosion. We have other challenges with technologies, microwaves. For example, people don't appreciate how hot the liquids can get. But more importantly, as our population ages, people aren't as quick to react. And so we get a lot of people who are older who are getting burned in the kitchen.
He says there are always a number of injuries after the 4th of July celebration from fireworks, including the most recent one. Dr. Karen says UNC also gets the largest number of transfers from other hospitals, including Duke and Wake Med. The J.C. Byrne Center treats patients from almost all 100 North Carolina counties. And Dr. Karen says he wants to continue to make it easier for patients to receive the same quality care they receive in Chapel Hill elsewhere in the state.
Ultimately, we're here to serve our patients, our citizens, our constituents. And how to do that has been a challenge because some of the services require a critical mass of people. So we would partner probably with trauma centers as well as the UNC healthcare system facilities, hospitals that are part of what we do here. Now that we have the electronic medical record is going to be uniform across the system, we'll be able to work with those various facilities. Hopefully we'll use telemedicine and other strategies to be able to allow the patients to get the kind of care they need without having to travel so far from home.
To hear the complete interview with Dr. Bruce Cairns and to see pictures from the J.C. Byrne Center and a video from the newly dedicated Kamuza Central Hospital Burn Unit in Malawi, you can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
If you missed the first part of our story in which Rand spoke with Dr. Cairns and Dr. Anthony Charles about their recent trip to Malawi, where they opened and dedicated a burn unit and burn operating room, we'll bring you that story at the top of the hour. 741 at WCHL. Rand, just a riveting conversation with you and the doctors, and that is just really fascinating stuff. Good work. Thank
well,
you.
It was amazing to go over there and first sit and talk with the doctors, and the full interview is posted on our website, chapelboro.com. You'll want to listen to it because it tells more than what I could capture in those two stories there. But it was great talking to them and talking about Malawi and how much of an effect UNC is able to have on Malawi by these two doctors going over there and opening up that burn unit and burn operating room. Mm-hmm. But then Dr. Cairns, who is just he's so generous with his time, he took me through the burn unit and through the burn center and gave me a step-by-step tour, actually pushing a meeting back for me in order to do that. And I went through and showed me all the different things that take place and told me about the Touchstone Energy Cooperatives and how they have such an effect and how they support the Burn Center so much and why it's so possible. Of course, he says he'd like to extend how many beds are there.
Sure.
But, you know, that takes money and takes support and things like that. But it's just amazing to think of all the time that he spent just doing that and all the time he spends as the medical director of the J.C. Byrne Center. But he's also the faculty chair. He's got a family.
Yeah.
He's a faculty member, obviously. It's remarkable as he's so able to do all that. And he even said to me, because of that yesterday, he said, it's because the people I work with. He was so gracious in saying, you know, I can't do it without them. And it's just great. It's great to hear a doctor so humble about that, you know. And he said he has such a great staff and they keep him in line that's how he's able to get it all done. It was a great event for me yesterday.
It's important to point out, too, that Bruce Cairns is from Chapel Hill.
That's right.
You know.
Chapel Hill
and,
native.
Brilliant guy. And, you know, what? I'm guessing that tour that you took mm-hmm. of the burn center itself, seeing all the patients and mm-hmm. seeing what everybody has to go through there, the patients and the people who work with them, I'm guessing that will change your life forever.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There.
Yeah, and it you know, the beginning of the story is so true that there was not, and he made a point of it too, there was not a sad face mm-hmm. among any of the doctors. Of course, the patients are in pain,
yeah.
but they do their very best to make it a happy environment so that they can try to improve the livelihoods of these people and try to help them get better even quicker by just putting a smile on their face. We were walking by one of the rooms, and one of the nurses was looking in and said, hey, are you going to walk today? And had this big smile on her face and was just so happy and was trying to encourage her.
Yeah.
And it was really remarkable to see that. So, it's a great atmosphere over there to try to help so many people who are in need of that.
Also just goes to show how important what happens in a split second can be.
Yeah, that's right.
And affecting the rest of your life. So
Exactly. Please,
everybody, be careful with fire. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, whatever you're doing.
And it goes down to sunburns as well. We're in the summer here. A lot of people sitting out in the sun, they even tweeted out, wear your sunscreen.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important because you can get second-degree burns from the sun and worse because of that. So please be careful.
Yeah, I'm a perfect example of that. I got sunburned a lot of times when I was young.
Yeah.
You know, because I have the skin that kind of does that, and it's not cool.
Yep, I did that once on my shoulders. It bubbled up. It blistered.
And, horrible.
Just terrible.
7:45 at WCHL. Yeah, we could talk about this all day.
We could.
But what's happening at chapelboro.com today?
Well, Dr. Tina LePage is back with her parenting page, and it's called "Getting Outdated." Many parents know of their kids learning things they might not want them to. She talks a lot about that. I'm sure you know about that.
Yes, I do.
Kids of yourself. So that's in our Local Buzz section of our website, chapelboro.com. In our photo galleries, the young professionals went out to Finley Golf Course and even played a little golf at Finley as well. So you'll want to check that photo gallery out. We've got our calendar page with all kinds of great events going on. Check that out as well on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that. And we've been mentioning today, it's Twitter's 8th birthday. A happy birthday to Twitter. I do want to tell you this one little note. 618,725 tweets were sent out at the moment Germany defeated Argentina. Can you believe that?
It's a lot of
tweeting. 615,000 tweets sent out. That is a record-setting tweet per minute. But happy birthday to Twitter. Follow hashtag first tweets for more on the birthday celebration.
Well, that's really cool. Thank you. It is 7:46. Walt Mack has today's commentary, and that is up next.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Hi. I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser's sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:48, 77 degrees in Chapel Hill.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Walt Mack. Lawmakers are growing restless in Raleigh. I'm speaking about the state legislators who are wrangling over proposed teacher salary hikes and how to pay for them. Oddly, the dispute rages between the House and Senate chambers, both sides dominated by Republicans. In a joint session, tensions became so heated that the House GOP representatives stormed out of the meeting. The House had proposed increasing the lottery advertising budget to generate enough revenue to cover the 5 to 6% raise for teachers. The Senate rejected that proposal outright, and the House agreed to drop the lottery advertising budget increase. The Senate wants to raise teacher pay by 11% and offset it by cutting teachers' assistance. But Governor Pat McCrory has threatened to veto this plan since it involves draconian cuts in other programs like Medicaid. Medicaid has already been victimized by slashing 15,000 from the rolls. If this sounds familiar, it is. A similar impasse is occurring in Washington. The big difference is that it's between Republicans and Democrats. If Republicans can't agree with each other, what hope do we have for finding common ground with Democrats? There's no doubt the money to pay for teacher pay raises will have to come from somewhere. My guess is that it will be off the backs of the poor working class. This is Walt Mack.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. It is time again for Traffic and Weather Together. And traffic brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound seeing spotty delays this morning, really between Columbia and Garrett Road. So that's the major stretch of 15501 through the south and eastern part of Chapel Hill. Be on the lookout there. NC 54 heading westbound right now between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some delays. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thanks so much. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. Now, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. It is 77 degrees, partly sunny, showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Our high today about 88 degrees. Not as hot as yesterday, though, thank goodness. Chance of rain 70% through tonight. Overnight low 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a 50-50 chance of rain early in the day, and the high tomorrow about 85. Clear skies tomorrow night with the lows in the low 60s, and then on Thursday, nice day. Partly sunny with a high in the middle 80s, 752 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond, let me put on my intellectual hat so I can try and keep up.
I'd prefer that you put on your shirt that doesn't clash with your tie.
You don't have to worry. No tie here, baby.
Well, actually, what people don't know, Ron, is that you normally spend your mornings working without a shirt.
Don't tell my secrets, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's quite a sight to see, especially back in the rock and roll days.
So. And it's a good thing that it's radio and not TV, huh?
All right, pal, here we go. The word of the day,
yeah.
Apropos of absolutely nothing, reach on the stack, see what comes up, what the wordsmith is offering. The word of the day is introit, introit, I-N. This does not have anything to do with a bankrupt city in the upper Midwest. I-N-T-R-O-I-T, I-N-T-R-O-I-T, introit. Here's a word, Ron, that you will recognize from your vast experience as a choir boy, student of theology, all those many years you spent laboring as a monk in the Abbey and, where was it, Rockingham County?
Rockingham, it was Richmond County.
Who cares? Who cares? One or the other. Introit.
Can't forget the Motor City.
Introit, I-N-T-R-O-I-T. This is a noun. It's a psalm, that is P-S-A-L-M, or an antiphon sung or recited while the priest approaches the altar for the Eucharist. Does this take you back to your days of contemplation and bread and water?
Oh, man, I'm so far out of my element here. I don't even know if I can even keep up with this conversation.
All right. Well, just play it back when it's time to call for a winner. Introit, I-N-T-R-O-I-T, a noun, a psalm or an antiphon sung or recited at the moment the priest approaches the altar for the Eucharist. Ron, we're into some deep waters here this morning, boy.
There's a word I'm probably going to not work into conversation sometime today.
All right. Well, bless you, my son. Go forth and rock and roll, and I'll talk to you in the morning.
Thank you so much, sir. Bye. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL. And the pond is getting deep this morning. And that is the Word of the Day brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the Word of the Day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:55 almost. And I have the joke of the day, clean joke. Marissa, a little under the weather this morning, so let me just tell you, I have blessed are the cracked, for they let in the light. Some about 25 lines here to make you smile, and most of them are very true. My husband and I divorced over religious differences. He thought he was God, and I didn't. Some people are alive only because it's illegal to kill them. I used to have a handle on life, but it broke. Don't take life too seriously. No one gets out alive. You're just jealous because the voices only talk to me. Earth is the insane asylum for the universe. I'll go along for that. I'm not a complete idiot. Some parts are just missing. Out of my mind, back in 5 minutes. NyQuil, this stuffy, sneezy, why the heck is the room spinning medicine? God must love stupid people because he made so many. The gene pool could use a little chlorine. Consciousness, that annoying time between naps. You know, being over the hill is much better than being under it. Wrinkled was not one of the things I wanted to be when I grew up. I have a degree in liberal arts. Do you want fries with that? A hangover is the wrath of grapes. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a cash advance. Stupidity is not a handicap. Park elsewhere. They call it PMS because mad cow disease was already taken. Ooh, I didn't write that one. He who dies with the most toys is nonetheless dead. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but it uses up about 3,000 times in memory. Ham and eggs, a day's work for a chicken, a lifetime commitment for a pig. Think about it. And the trouble with life is there's no background music. Au contraire. I have background music behind everything I do, I think. This clean joke of the day brought to you by May McClendon. Thank you, May, for writing in, as always. That's our clean joke of the day on WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
The folks at the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce wanted to honor Meg Branson, who is leaving the chamber, and Aaron Nelson, President and CEO of the chamber, is with us now. And Aaron, I know that Meg has been a very important part of your team. Meg has just done a great job building relationships in the business community, which is what it's all about.
Meg is one of our superstars at our organization. She's been with us now for 7 years. We were very fortunate to hire her right out of college as an intern, and she's now our senior vice president, leads our membership effort.
What is she going to do next?
Meg is off to get a master's degree in business administration at Vanderbilt University, and we're real sorry to see her leave our community.
So she's actually not just leaving the chamber, but she's leaving our community too, and that makes all of us sad.
It does. It's a loss for our community. It's a gain for the folks in Nashville, but we couldn't be happier with all the work that she has done to make us a stronger chamber, a more effective chamber, and to serve our members so very, very well.
What is Meg Branson like to work with around the office? I mean, not out in the community necessarily. But what about when she's doing her duties around the office? What's she like?
Well, Meg is a joy to work with every single day. She brings a bright and positive attitude into the office. Her smile is infectious. She greets every member or visitor. Nobody is a stranger to Meg Branson. She makes everybody feel welcome, well cared for, and we really do, all of us, love working with her.
Well, Aaron, you've got a lot of special people at the Chamber of Commerce, and certainly we've loved the opportunity to get to know Meg over the years, and she's done a great job, and I know she's going to be great wherever she is.
Yep, we wish her the best of luck. She leaves this community and this organization much, much better than she found it. We are grateful for her service, both to our members and to our community.
Meg Branson, today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Congratulations, Meg, and good luck.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Please get to the polls and vote today for sheriff in Orange County. All 44 precincts are open now and will be open until 7:30 tonight. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 77 degrees, partly sunny, 70% chance of rain later on in the day, maybe a thunderstorm, high today 88 degrees. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Women and children sent back to Honduras.
The first of a wave of deportation flights from the U.S.
Mideast ceasefire stalemate.
Israel accepts the plan, but Hamas says no.
Making friends.
They may be as genetically close as your cousins.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The first of what's expected to be a flurry of new deportations has taken place from this country to Central America amid a new effort to discourage the influx that's caused what's been called a humanitarian crisis at the border. Here's CBS's Dan Revive.
Apparently, the start of the deportations was a flight from New Mexico, where many illegal immigrants are being held, to Honduras. The Los Angeles Times reports that 38 Hondurans, about half of them single mothers, the other half children, were flown back to San Pedro Sula, the city they came from. Honduran government officials were there to greet them, also to give the fact that they'd been kicked out of the U.S. maximum publicity.
CBS's Nancy Cordes says two Texas lawmakers are behind a new bill on Capitol Hill.
This bill would flood the border with about 40 immigration judges, with the goal of getting kids an initial hearing within a week of arriving in the U.S. and sending back the ones who don't appear to have a legal claim to be here.
In Vienna, Secretary of State Kerry says disagreement over an Egyptian ceasefire plan